commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. Those who boast about the gophers. No, I'm just kidding. Here's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible is this next verse. And I'll tell you why it is, because I think people thought Paul was crazy. I think they thought he was loopy. And he's saying, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. In other words, if you look at me and you think I'm insane, it's for God. If you think I'm sold out for something I cannot see, I want you to know this God did everything for me, and I'm going to live all of my life for him. And if you think I'm crazy, it's for God. Yeah, I'm crazy about this God. I have a depth of love for this God that you're going to point at me and go, he is weird. And I don't mean weird in the sense of Christians just get weird sometimes and they just do weird things. I don't mean that. I mean so sold out that he's saying, I'm living for Christ and nothing else compels me like Jesus does. There is nothing else in my life. Jesus freak, yes, a Jesus freak. Nothing compels me like Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying here. That's why it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. So if I'm seen to be crazy, it's for God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you. I don't even know what that means, but I love that. If I'm seen in my right mind, I'm laying my life down for you, the church, he says. For the love of Christ controls us, or maybe in your version says compels us, because we have concluded this. This is really important, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. In other words, if you know Christ, you have laid your life down. You're saying, not my life anymore, now Christ lives in me. It compels us. And he died for all, for those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. In other words, he purchased you. I don't know if you like that or not, that you've been purchased, you've been redeemed. I love it. Because I knew that I thought, irredeemable. I could not be redeemed. But only one could redeem me in my sin was Christ. And because he purchased me, now he gets to use me for his purpose. And I hope that you get that. I hope you're not offended by that. That God controls you. That he, and when you think of the word control, you think of somebody trying to manipulate you. No, this is different. If God is your greatest joy, And the pursuit of him brings you the greatest joy, his most loving thing he could do would be to compel you to follow him. Because there you would find your greatest joy. And so from now on, therefore we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Is that true of your life? All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The disciples got this, not at his death, not at his resurrection, but at his ascension. And they began to live it out, and we have it recorded in the book of Acts, that they were willing to lay down everything for this Christ. Something changed in them. When they knew he did it all for me, he laid his life down for me, so my life now needs to be lived for him. And so we are given the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, helping people be reconciled, sinful people, to a holy God. And that is in Christ, God reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins and trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So you need to be willing to be able to say, you're welcome in my life. In fact, I love you as you are, but I encourage you to be reconciled to God as I am. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, I love that. I love that about our God. In fact, as you look in that passage, it brings so many things to mind. When you're sharing the gospel with somebody, did you realize that when you begin to talk about Jesus Christ and become his ambassador, that you're good news to them? Did you know that? And let me ask you a question. In your workplace, are you good news to those who are around you? In your family, are you good news? When you show up, is it good news? When you go to a restaurant and you have somebody there that is serving you, are you good news to them? Or are you just going, you know, serve me? Wherever you show up, we ought to be good news to those we meet. And so as a challenge, right here in the beginning of the message, I want you to think about this. There was a time that you and I would have sold out our lives for the things of this world. And I want you to think through that, because what are you living your life for today? How do you want to end this decade? What do you want to invest in? Do you want higher prestige in your workplace? Do you want more of a retirement savings? Do you want people to look at you and say, I really like that person, I respect them? Those are all good things. Those are important things. Do you want to have a bigger house? Do you want to drive a nicer car? What are the goals you have for the end of the decade? And let me ask you, what have you inside of you that yearns for something more? Something deeper. Something that goes beyond anything this world has to offer. Because I believe that there is often in our soul an aching for more. And I believe that God put it there. And that's where our heart yearns. Here's the thing. Your soul and my soul, at the deepest level, we remember. You might say, what do you remember? I believe that we remember, even though we weren't there physically, we remember what Adam and Eve enjoyed with God. And I believe at the deepest point of our soul, we remember that they once had communion with God, unhindered by their sin. Can you imagine what that would have been like? That they walked with a holy God, and there was nothing between them and God. Can you imagine? I believe that our soul yearns to be in that place again. And do you know that as you have been reconciled to God in Christ his Son, that you are in that place today? And one day in eternity, you'll experience all of that. You have been sanctified. You're being sanctified. You will be sanctified. One day, all sin will be removed from your life. And there will be no hindrance. You won't look in the mirror and say, oh, I hate that about myself. You'll look in the mirror and you'll just say, you know what? God and I are right. There's nothing between us. My wife is gone. She's with her parents this week. And she's also, we have a son who plays basketball out in Colorado. And she's seeing him as well. But she's with her parents getting ready because we're going to travel. We're going to all meet in Des Moines. And our children are coming to Des Moines, except for the one who's already out there. And then we're going to travel out together to Colorado, to Fort Collins, for Thanksgiving. And I can't wait for that. But I love the fact that our kids actually want to make this trip. You know, you remember when kids are little, you just strap them into a car seat. They don't need to know where they're going. I remember a friend of mine at one point said that his little boy, he got to the point where he was getting strapped in a car seat, and his little boy said, where are you taking my body? I have no idea where you're taking my body. I love that. But now our kids are at an age, they're young adults, two in college and two a little older. They're at an age where they don't have to go with us anywhere. They don't have to travel with us anywhere. But I want you to know what it means to us when they take their time out to travel, to meet in Des Moines and get together and go together, and what that does to a father's heart, to a mother's heart. And I want you to think about that kind of reconciliation, that kind of love that a family enjoys. And that is what God is calling us to in a great and very deep way as the body of Christ together, yearning for that kind of unity and that kind of love to go where God calls us to go as a body of believers. By the way, if you're new, this message today, if you haven't been traveling with us, I'm so glad you're here, by the way. You're welcome here. I believe that God brings everybody here for his purpose. You're not here by accident. But also that you may be jumping in midstream here. And I want you to know that we're asking God, who do you want us to minister to, and how do you want that to be carried out? And as a body of believers, we feel that we're not just gathering here to have worship on Sunday mornings. We feel that we are good news to the community in which we live. And that when we go out into the community, we become the church. And that we're going to team up with other great churches in the area. We have one, Bethlehem, right down the road here, meeting at the high school. We want to partner with them and other churches in the community that are making an incredible difference for the kingdom. And there is no territorialness in the kingdom of God. We just need to come together and make a difference for our great God and not have any jealousies or, or anything. But we need to have unity as a body as we do that, because we are his ambassadors. So wherever you go, the message you bring, the news you bring, is it good news? Is it good news? Now, we're also made to connect with Christ and one another. We're made to connect to Christ and one another. I think of one of my favorite passages as well, Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, Jesus said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, with all your mind. It's the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So here's what I'm asking for you as a congregation, for me, as a pastor, as a leader here. I'm asking that we remember what it was like to be without Christ and pray for spiritual awakening in the South Metro for Jesus Christ and revival. That remember, think about what it was like to not know Christ in a personal way. I want you to remember back to when you were, and you might say, but I didn't even know where I was at. But I want to ask you, was it futile what you were doing? I know that a lot of people I meet who don't know Christ really believe that, hey, this is all that life has. And some are really having a great time, and this is all that life has to offer. And I want you to know, if I go back to my life before Jesus Christ and after, to me there is no comparison. And I want people to know that. I want them to know the love and the peace and the joy of following this great God and to knowing that your eternity is set in Christ. A second thing, we need to be a church full of grace and truth. A community of believers that receives people as they are and introduces them to Jesus Christ. Somebody actually told me one time, well, I don't want to be in one of those churches where they just, you know, leave people where they're at and just say everybody's welcome and you can stay right where you're at. And I want you to know that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're just welcome here to stay where you're at. Here's what I'm saying. We're going to love you. Everybody is welcome here, but we're going to speak truth to you. Because we know that truth transforms. But everybody is welcome in this place. And if you believe that that is not true, let me just ask you to think about when you came to know Christ as Savior and Lord. Did you feel welcome in God's house? Did you feel welcome in a church? I hope you found a place where somebody said, you can belong. We're going to care about you no matter where you've been. We don't care about the halftime score. We care about where you're at in Christ and where you're going. And if you're right here today with a lot of life questions that are dragging you under and keep under, the undertow is just too heavy in your life, we're saying, come here, you're welcome here. We're going to love you here. We're going to speak truth to you here. But I pray that we begin to see people walk through the doors that you say, huh, I wonder what they're doing here. And they may say the same thing about you when they see you here. Huh, wonder what you're doing here. That may be true. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Does your life look like that? I got to confess, I struggle with that sometimes myself. I know, you know, a pastor isn't supposed to struggle with sharing their faith. But I get on an airplane and I like an empty seat next to me, or I get somewhere and I want to have time alone and I don't want to be interrupted sometimes. And I want to ask you, is that of God? I know it's not. I know we need time to rest and we need time away from people. In fact, somebody told me one time, do a study about how Jesus gets away from people. It really is a good study sometime. He does it to refresh and be with his Father. But you know what? He's all about interruptions. And we want to be all about interruptions, because if you're not good news to the person sitting next to you on the airplane, then who's going to be good news to them? And if you're not good news to the person that's serving you in a restaurant or someone that you're coming into contact with, even at a post office, across the counter, or in your workplace in the cubicle next to you, or in the cafeteria at high school or in college or wherever you are, if you're not good news to that person, then why not, and who will be good news to them? We need to be that, and we need to ask God to embody that in us so that people see Christ at work in us in a powerful way, and they begin to ask, what's different about you? What is transformed in your life? And I believe that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he's saying, Jesus is saying, here's my strategy for you. I'm going to turn you loose. I want to invite you to be good news to those you come in contact with. There is no ordinary day in the life of a follower of Christ. In fact, today, whoever you come in contact with, be good news to them. I think our good news goes from here to the dentist office to Sunday school classes. It goes to your workplace. It goes to your home. My kids have, they just have a desire to want to follow me. I don't know why, but I'm to lead them. But I have to know where I'm going for them to lead, to be able to lead them anywhere. My wife loves me unconditionally. I have no idea why, but she does. So I need to reciprocate that kind of love to her. The congregation has invited us to come and serve here, and so I need to serve here, even though I don't feel worthy of it. And so I want you to know, in our lives, there are those very basic relationships that all of us have that we need to say, God, what do you want to do to bring life into that relationship? How can I be the gospel to that person? And I know that my kids, when they're at, and that's my life mission statement, by the way, is to love my wife, to lead my children, and to serve the church. That's my mission statement personally. And I hope you have a mission statement. If you've never written it down, I hope you will say, God, what is my mission statement for my life? Because even Burger King has a mission statement. And they make really rotten hamburgers, but they have a mission statement. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure they have one. And if you work for Burger King, I apologize. Or if you have stock in them, I even feel worse for you. But anyway, don't send emails. Remember emails, ttrimer@trinityefc.net. Any angry emails, that's where they go. He loves them. And all things Bieber, you remember that from a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, but I want you to think about with me how it is that you and I, in those relationships, how we live for Christ. If I'm going to lead my kids, they need to see what it's like. If I face a life-threatening illness, they're going to watch me. They're going to go, Dad, from a distance, they're going to go, Dad, how are you handling that? Because if you can't handle it with the truth of God's word, I don't know what I'm going to do. Mom and Dad, how are you dealing with marriage? How are you loving each other through the years and through the decades of life? When youth is waning and bodies start creaking and all of that, how are you doing this? In fact, one of my sons said to me recently, Dad, I wish you were more open with me. I want to know you. Do you realize how powerful that is? I love that. And so I said, what do you want to know? He said, I don't know, I just want to know you. I said, all right, I'm going to do my very best to let you know me. We have a longing to know the people we love. So how are you good news to those who are near you? When the struggles of life get really intense, people are going to look to you and say, are you good news or not? You know, Jesus also can't be relegated to Sunday. We're to build our lives in conformity to Christ. Now, I believe we've compartmentalized our religious faith in America, maybe throughout the world. We don't build our lives in conformity to Christ. We have church we go to. And if you got up this morning thinking, I think I'll go to church, I want you to think through that again. Don't say, I think I'll go to church. Say, I can't wait to get there to hang out with people I love and experience God. And when you walk out of here, I pray that when you've worshiped and when you've been in the Word, that you say, God met me there. His Word challenged me. Because there is not a single person who could get up in front of us as a people and change us. I can't change you. There's nothing I can do to change your heart. In fact, I can't even speak to your heart. So if I were to say something to you like, you're selfish, you have every right to say to me, how do you know that about my heart? Only the Holy Spirit knows my heart. So I want you to be careful with one another too. When you say something about another person, be really careful, really cautious. Only God can speak to the heart. And so when he does through his word, and I believe that pastors and teachers ought to challenge God's people, but when he does and the Holy Spirit meets you there, then you've got a decision to make. Do I change or do I turn my back on this holy God and do whatever I want to do? I love what Paul says in Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth. I always question that. If he were married, would he have the gall to say that? Anyway, until Christ is formed in you. I think my wife would say, you have no idea what the anguish of childbirth is like. But what he's saying is, I have this aching for these Christians at Galatia because I'm seeing you struggle with your faith. And I want you to know that something internally in me is hurting. And the ache is so bad. And I want you to be transformed so bad in Christ. I want you to have what I'm experiencing so badly that I feel like I'm just in agony. And you know that feeling because if you ever have a son or daughter who wanders from Christ or questions their faith, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Just internally, you're just sick. You just want them so badly to have Christ formed in them. And every believer we're praying here would be in some form of biblical community. We have an incredible team of people. Come to Celebration Sunday. It was up on the screen again. It's kind of, it's better than a fly anyway, so I'm glad that was, what was there. You know what's funny is you guys do such a great job back there, and we never thank you. We always notice when something doesn't go right, but we never thank you back there. So I just want to tell you thanks. We always notice when something gets a wrong button gets pushed, but the 99% of the time everything is great. We just walk past you, so thank you. What was that? That fly hates me, hates my guts. All right, anyway. What'd you do in church today? Watch your pastor swat a fly off his face. Anyway, cut that out on the video, would you? We're also to assist and equip every home in our journey together in Christ. In other words, we're knit together as the body of Christ. We need to help each other. We need to come alongside one another. The church is really to stand shoulder to shoulder with you to see that the glory of God is made known in your home, that your marriage is strong. We can't make your marriage strong. We can't make your kids follow Christ. But we can stand shoulder to shoulder with you and give you all the resources we have available to help you grow, and we're committed to do that. And as a body of believers, we're committed to doing that for anyone who comes through these doors because it is really that investment that makes the difference. And you know that, and so do I. There's been so many ways that God has made that evident. I love the fact that in Scripture, Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He came as a servant. And what an incredible servant he is. Well, here's his strategy again. His strategy is, I'm going to turn you loose. I'm going to let you be the church. It's not relegating it to Sunday. It's not doing on Sunday that religious thing that gets your box checked. It's about living every single day in a way that brings him honor. Third, it's not about me and it's not about now. People struggle with this one. And I've said this before, if it's about me, I can hold a grudge against you. If it's about me, I don't have to forgive you. If it's about me, I can do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. But if it's about Jesus Christ and it's about eternity, I've got to deal with my stuff. I can't live any way I want to live because he has purchased me and redeemed me. And if it's about eternity, then what am I storing up for eternity? And if it's about Christ, and that was our mission statement for our family, is everything is about Jesus Christ. Really simple mission statement. Everything is about Jesus Christ. Kids would go, well, what's about Jesus? Everything, everything. There's nothing that isn't. If you're cleaning your room, it's about Jesus. Are you doing it to the best of your ability, or are you just shoving stuff under your bed? You know the difference. You got to have a mission statement for your family and one for you individually. We've got to have something so we can hit the mark at least occasionally. We spend more time looking at what kind of tires to buy for our vehicle than we do about where is my life headed. And so I just urge you to stop. It's not about me. It's not about now. It's about Jesus Christ and it's about eternity. It's also about others. It's about Christ and others. It's about eternity. I want to ask, what are two things you can't do in heaven that you can do here? Thank you. You've been listening, haven't you? You can't sin in heaven, and you can't tell people about Jesus in heaven. Now, which one do you think he left you here for? Sin. Dude, well, you got a Minnesota sweatshirt on, too. What?
Spread the word.
Spread the word. I love Minnesota. I love cold, and I love burgundy, so I'm happy. And purple, right? Purple. Ah, what? Green. Green. Packers. Oh, man. All right, now you got people hating each other. All right, this is church, all right? Let's be godly here. Well, two things you can't do in eternity, and he left you here to tell others about Christ, to be good news to them. Not so that we could sin. Billy Sunday, who was an old preacher, he said something that I love reading this guy's writings, but he said, if you come to one of his tent revivals, 100 years ago, you got to understand, if you come to one of his tent revivals, you come to faith in Jesus Christ, here's what he said, best thing would be for you to walk out of that tent and get hit by a truck and go right to heaven. That's really, I mean, okay. I disagree with that. I totally disagree with that. Because God left us here to be his ambassadors for Jesus. Who is going to be an ambassador for Christ if the believers aren't left here to make a difference? Who's going to be good news to your neighbors? And are you, that's a, you know, one of those things that we don't think about very often. Are you good news? Is it good news when you moved in next door to your neighbors? Has it become good news for them? Has it become good news for that person who is next to you in that cubicle? Now, I know that some Christians, they come to church on Sunday and they get upset because they would say, maybe, oh, the pastor's not feeding me. Have you ever heard that? You ever heard anybody say that? Now, let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to be funny, okay? Let me ask you a question. Who is fed by others? Babies and someone who's lost the capacity to eat on their own. Now, if you're thinking somebody else is feeding you, it's time to feed yourself. And I mean that with all love. You got to be in the Word of God. And you have to grow to love the Word of God. And you have to grow to let it become a part of who you are. I remember, there was a believer one time who he's been a Christian for like 20 years. He said, you know, my pastor's just not feeding me. And the dude was, you know, sometimes we get to be 15, 16, we got to start to shave, okay? In other words, it's time for us to pick this up and get into it and be challenged in a way that transforms our life. We led our kids in Bible studies. We did. We opened the Bible, we'd read, and we'd pray. But you know, when I was really thrilled was when I would go knock on their door to say goodnight, and I came in, and they are laying on their bed with a Bible in front of them, and they're reading it. That was what really excited me, because now it was making that transition from me to them. And that was when God was really speaking to them. So I encourage you to have just a time in God's Word so that we can become a place of release for the glory of God. I love what Matthew 5 says, you're the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, because when you light a lamp and put it under a basket, you are trying to be selfish. I want to keep that light just for me. It's my light. I don't want to share it with anybody. But you put it on a stand and it gives light to everybody in the house. In other words, you're good news to people around you. The people in your workplace, the people next to you who live near you, the people who work with you, the people who go to school with you, it's good news that you're there. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works, pat you on the back and say you're the greatest Christian that ever lived. No. So that God might receive glory, because he is the only one worthy of receiving glory. And a church where the love of Christ comes alive in a way that we treat one another in the world outside of Trinity. That is what we're longing for. It's a kind of vision that I can give my life to. It's the kind of vision that's going to call for sacrifice on all of our part. And I recognize that. On Sunday, we all gather together. On Monday morning, we go out into the places where we are to deliver the good news. And the mission of the church is not to make sure that things are going on okay inside our building while the rest of the world goes to hell. That is not our mission. We're to be turned loose. That's what God wants from us. What if, and I believe this is the heart of God, what if in our community, because of churches like Trinity, marriages got better? What if in our community, because of churches like Trinity and life transformation and the gospel being shared, what if there was less child abuse? And I love our policemen and women. But what if they had nothing to do? What if on their job they got really bored because there was less crime? Wouldn't that be a community you'd want to live in? Do you think the gospel can't transform a community like that? I think you're limiting God. If believers in this community got together and said, you know, it's not about our church, it's not about our one little church, it's about God's kingdom. And we got together and we said, we're going to pray for revival. We're going to pray for spiritual awakening. We're going to expect the gospel to still open hearts. And we're not going to be disunified. We're going to be together. I believe that God would make an incredible difference in the community around us. So we move forward with boldness because we have a great God. I want you to be the kind of person that people in your workplace say, she adds so much value to my day just by her being there, by him being there. When your family meets over Thanksgiving, when your family gets together over Christmas, I want people in your family to be driving away going, you know what? Something is different about them. There's something in them that I want. There's good news when they show up, and I want to see them again. I'm not a craftsman by any means. I went through the whole process getting the permit and having somebody do the electrical work and the heating and air conditioning, and I'm building two basement bedrooms in our house. Oh my goodness. I told my wife, there's mistakes everywhere that I'm making. And God bless you guys that can work with your hands. She said, oh, you can figure it out. I love that she thinks that about me. I really do. I do. I love that about my wife. She thinks things about me that aren't true. I love that.
She's.
That's kind of you, Nick. I'll tell you what.
With my mom.
We'll talk later. We'll talk later, okay? But I'll tell you what. When I get in the middle of that, you know why I'm doing it? Because I hate it. I hate every minute of it, to be honest with you. Hanging sheetrock, sanding it, hate it. You know why I'm doing that? Because when our kids come back, they're going to have a place. And we're going to prepare rooms for them to come and hang with us. We could put them in the living room. We could do that. Hey, here's your blow-up mattress. Have a good night. Because we have a little house. We could do that. But the only thing that's getting me through that is saying, I want to create a place. Because that's what matters. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you have given us relationships in our lives where we need to be good news to them. And Lord, I know that if there are any of us that are harboring anything, I pray that we'd leave it at the foot of the cross. In any way, if we have felt offended or if we have felt like somebody has hurt us, harmed us, I really feel like that is one particular way that we cease being good news to those around us. And also, Lord, if there's something we're struggling with in our own life, a sin that we won't put away, if there's something that we just keep going back to because we think it's the source of life, and every time we're disappointed, we're brokenhearted, I pray that we'll lay it down at the cross. Because that hinders our being good news to those around us. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you've given us the ministry of reconciliation and that we get to share the greatest news anyone could ever hear. And our prayer would be that we as a church would see you act in such powerful ways that it's undeniable that we have met with our God. That no people could see this happen together, only God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd plant seeds of revival in and throughout the South Metro. I pray that we would partner with other churches without any jealousy. That there would be a love for one another, because when we come together, we're going to be together believers in such a way that a whole community can be transformed. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I ask you, Lord, for that. And I ask you for a body of believers that trusts you for anything that you could accomplish. We invite your Holy Spirit to be here. We invite your powerful presence in this place. And God, we ask you to transform each one of us, that we might live for Christ in a way that we do things, we prepare things for people, and we serve others simply because we want them to belong and we want them to know truth. Oh, Father, thank you that we can be good news to other people. I pray it would be so in our lives. In Jesus' name.